You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Rampa, read to you by Blue Friend, September 2016. Lesson 26. We are going to set down now what we term rules for right living. These are completely basic rules, rules which are definitely a must. To them, you should add your own rules. First, we will set them down, and then we will go over them again, examining them more carefully, so that we may perhaps have some insight into the reasons behind them. Here they are, then. 1. Do as you would be done by. 2. Do not judge others. 3. Be punctual in all that you do. 4. Do not argue about religion, nor scoff at the beliefs of others. 5. Keep to your own religion, and show complete tolerance to those who are of the different religion. 6. Refrain from dabbling in magic. 7. Refrain from taking intoxicating drinks and drugs. Shall we have a look at these rules in somewhat greater detail? We said, do as you would be done by. Well, that is good enough, because if you're in possession of your normal faculties, you would not stab yourself in the back, nor would you swindle yourself or overcharge yourself. If you're a normal person, you like to look after yourself as much as possible. You'll be living according to the golden rule if you look after your neighbor as you would yourself. In other words, do as you would be done by. It helps. It works out. This turning the other cheek business works with normal people. If some person cannot accept your purity of thought and motive, then after you have suffered in silence 2 or 3 times at most, you would be well advised to keep free of that person's presence. In the world beyond this life, we cannot meet those who are opposed to us, those with whom we are not in harmony. Unfortunately, we have to meet some pretty horrible people while on earth, but we need not do so from choice, but only from sheer necessity. So, do as you would be done by, and your character will stand you in good stead and will be as a shining light to all men and to all women. You will be known as a person who does good, as a person who keeps a promise, so that if you are swindled, the swindler will never get any sympathy. In connection with this, it is good to remember that not even the biggest swindlers can take a single cent away from this life. We also say, do not judge others. You may yet be in a similar position to the person whom you have judged or condemned. You know the circumstances relating to your own affairs, but no one else does. Not even the person who is nearest and dearest to you can share the thoughts of your soul. No one, upon this earth at least, can be completely in harmony with another person. Possibly you are married. Possibly you are very happy with your partner. But even so, even in the happiest marriages, sometimes a partner will do something which is completely mystifying to the other. Often it is not even possible to explain one's motives. Let the innocent among you be the first to cast a stone. People in glass houses should not throw stones. These are very good teachings because no one is completely innocent. If anyone was completely pure, completely innocent, they could not stay on this old earth of ours. So by saying that the innocent only should throw stones, then there is no one to throw stones. We are, quite bluntly, all in very much of a mess down here on earth. People come here to learn things. If they had nothing to learn, they would not come here. They would go to a better place altogether. We all make mistakes. Many of us get blamed for things which we haven't done. Many of us do not get credit for the good that we have done. Does it matter? Later, when we leave this earth, when we leave our training school, we shall find that the standards are very different indeed. The standards will not be in pounds sterling or in dollars, nor in pesos or rupees. We shall then be assessed of our true worth, so do not judge others. Our third rule, be punctual in all you do, may be rather a surprise to you, but it is a logical rule. People arrange to do things, people have their plans, and there is a time and place for everything. In being unpunctual, we may upset the plans and ideas of the other person. In being unpunctual, we may build up some resentment in the person who's been kept waiting so long. And if we build up resentment and frustration, that person may take a different course to that which was originally planned. That means by being unpunctual, we have caused another person to take a course of action not originally planned, and that is our responsibility. Punctuality can be a habit quite as much as can unpunctuality. But punctuality is tidy. It is in the disciplining of the body, of the spirit, and of the soul, too. Punctuality shows respect for oneself, because it means that one is able to keep one's word, and it shows respect for others, because in that case, we are punctual because we respect others. Punctuality, then, is a virtue which is well worth cultivating. It is a virtue which increases our own mental and spiritual status. Now, about religion. It is wrong indeed to scoff at another person's religion. You believe this, another person believes that. Does it matter what you call God? God is God, whatever he is called. Can you argue about the two sides of a coin? Unfortunately, throughout the history of mankind, there has been too much bad thought about religion. About religion, which should cause only good thought. We repeat, to a certain extent, this rule about religion in rule number 5, because we say that one should keep to one's own religion. It is rarely wise to change. While upon earth we are in midstream, the midstream of life, and it is not wise to change horses midstream. Most of us came to this earth with a certain plan in mind. For most of us, that entailed believing in a certain religion, or in a certain form or branch of religion. And unless there are the strongest of strong reasons, it is unwise to change one's religion. One assimilates religion as one assimilates the language when young, just as it is always harder to learn a language when one is older, so it is harder to be able to absorb the nuances of a different religion. It is also wrong to try to influence another person to change to a different religion. What may be suitable for you may not be suitable for the other person. Remember Rule 2 and do not judge others. You cannot judge what religion will suit one person unless you can get inside his skin, get inside his mind, and get inside his soul as well. Lacking the ability to do that, it may be considered an unwise thing, indeed, to interfere with, or to weaken, or to scoff at the religious beliefs of others. Just as we should do as we would be done by, we should give full tolerance, full freedom to another person to believe and worship as he or she thinks fit. We should resent interference ourselves, so let us realize that the other person may resent it also. Rule number 6 is, refrain from dabbling in magic. That's because many forms of magic are harmful. There are many, many things in occultism which can harm one immensely if one studies without guidance. An astronomer would never gaze at the sun through a high-powered telescope without taking suitable precautions, without, in fact, having some suitable sun filters in front of the lenses. Even the poorest astronomer would know that gazing upon the sun through a high-powered telescope would result in blindness. In much the same way, dabbling in the occult without suitable training, without suitable guidance, can lead to nervous breakdown, or can lead to a whole host of other thoroughly unpleasant symptoms. We are definitely opposed to the practice of taking Eastern yogic exercises and trying to torture a poor Western body into some of those postures. These exercises are designed for the Eastern body, which has been schooled in these postures from the very earliest days, and it can harm one immensely to get oneself in a contorted mess of bruised muscles just because the exercise has a yogic title. Let us study occultism by all means, but let us study it sensibly and with guidance. We do not advise one to commune with the dead or do other remarkable practices of that type. It can be done, of course, and is done every day, but it is a matter which can be thoroughly painful and harmful to both sides, unless it is done under the competent supervision of a trained person. Some people study the daily newspaper to see what their horoscope is for that day. Many people, unfortunately, take these forecasts absolutely seriously and model their life upon them. A horoscope is a useless, dangerous thing unless prepared according to exact natal data by a competent astrologer, and the cost of such astrologer services would be high indeed, because of the considerable knowledge required and the long, long time which the computations would take. It is not enough to take the sun sign, or the moon sign, or the color of one's hair, or whether one's toes turn up or not. One can do it exactly only if one has the training and the data. So unless you know of an astrologer who has that training and patience and time available, and unless you have an ample supply of money with which to pay for all this time and knowledge, we suggest you do not dabble in astrology. It can cause you harm. Instead, study only that which is pure and innocent, such as, we venture to say, with due modesty, this course, which is, after all, but an exposition of natural laws, laws which relate even to breathing and to walking. Our last rule was, refrain from taking intoxicating drinks or drugs. Well, we should have said enough throughout this course to let you realize the dangers of driving the astral body willy-nilly from the physical body and, as it were, stunning it. Intoxicating drinks harm the soul. They distort the impressions transmitted through the silver cord. They impair the mechanism of the brain, which, we must remember, is but a receiving and transmitting station concerned with the manipulation of the body up on earth and the receipt of knowledge in the world beyond. Drugs are even worse, for drugs are even more habit-forming. If one is going to take drugs, then one is, in effect, abandoning all that one aspires to in this life, and in giving way to the false blandishments of intoxicating drinks and drugs, one may be paving the way for life after life upon earth, until one has thoroughly worked out the karma which that silly, silly habit has built up for us. All life should be ordered. All life should have discipline. A religious belief, if one adheres to one's belief, is a useful form of spiritual discipline. One sees nowadays teenage gangs in all the cities of the world. Through World War II, home ties were weakened. Perhaps the father went to the war and the mother worked in a factory, with the result that young, impressionable children played on the streets without any adult supervision. And these young, impressionable children banded together into gangs. They made their own form of discipline, the discipline of gangsterdom. We believe that until the discipline of the love of parents and the discipline of religion can take over, then teenage crime will continue and increase. If we have mental discipline, we may be able to set some sort of example to those who have not. For remember, discipline is essential. It is discipline that distinguishes a highly trained army from a disorganized rabble. End of lesson 26.